Amen. 1 Peter 2, chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, being born again. That's key right there. So this is where the change happened and how it changed. Being born again, what? Not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible, or you could say incorruptible seed. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth, how? Forever. For as the all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. So God's word will never fail, never die out. It will produce. It's seed. It will produce. It's not like natural seed. You know, I was sharing this a couple weeks ago. You know, I just out of curiosity, I said, what's the oldest seed they ever discovered that produced? And they found, there's a couple of them. They said they found, I forget what year they found it, they discovered a seed in Israel area. So they dated it to over 2,000 years old. They have, you know, they carbon date it. And they said that seed, they put it in the right ground and so forth, and it produced. And then they found another seed in Siberia, in Russia. They carbon dated that. It was 32,000 years old. And they found that encased in ice. And that seed produced. So seed will produce. This is just natural seed, right? You take a seed which is corruptible, you stick it in the right conditions, and you water it and nurture it properly, it's going to produce. How much more? God's seed, God's word. It's what? Indestructible. It will produce. It endureth forever. So let's turn over here to these scriptures we've been using. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 3 and verse 6. So we can see that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible seed, the word of God. So that's how we were changed. We believe God. We ask God to come into our heart. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. And we were changed. Changed by how? The word of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, I have planted, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. I'm reading from the King James Version. We don't talk like that anymore. You know, somebody say, what the heck is husbandry? And it says, ye are God's building. Well, husbandry, if you look it up in a concordance, that Greek word, it just means a farm or a garden or a field. Actually, that's what the New Living Translation says. Ye are God's field. And also the Moffat Translation says, ye are God's field to be planted. So God's, when he says ye are God's husbandry, it just means that who's the real you? Not this outer man. Because this outer man will decay, but the real person is on the inside. The spirit of a man is the real person. That's what got born again. See, that's what got changed. It's the spirit of man was separated from God. And so here, when it talks about the garden or the husbandry, God, it says, ye are God's husbandry. That just means we are his field to be planted. What does that mean? He's going to take his word, which is impregnated with his life. It's breathed with his life. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. So the Word of God is God. It's breathed with His very life. And so when we take His Word and plant it in this newly recreated spirit, it's being planted in what? This garden. And if all the conditions are kept properly, it's going to do what? Produce His nature. And that's why when He says, you know, you plant enough of God's Word in your spirit, you're going to become like Him. You know, that's like when people say, you're just trying to be like God. No, I'm not trying to be like Him. I'm not trying to be like Him. I'm planting His Word in me. If I do that, I will become like Him. I will walk like Him. I'll think like God. What does that mean? He's by His Spirit will begin to think through us and motivate us to walk in love, treat people right, walk in faith, not by sight. And so we're going to operate like God. That's not trying to be high-minded or anything. You're putting God's very nature in you through His Word. So you become like Him. That's what happens. So here, we are God's garden. Our spirit is. Isn't that exciting? That's good news. So he's not leaving you down here kind of trying to figure this whole deal out here by yourself and trying to do everything by yourself. He's putting His very nature in us to help us. Because forget about it, I made a mess of my life once. Enough times, I ain't trying to do it again. So I need His help. I need His help. How's He going to help me? Through His Word. Through His Spirit. He's going to help me be successful in life. That's actually Joshua 1:8. If we meditate in His Word day and night and observe to do it, it says we will become successful. So here the seed is powerless unless it's planted. You've got to plant God's Word. You know, just like seed, if I take a bag of seed and I'm a farmer and I'm looking for a harvest, if I stick a bag of seed up in the shelf or out in the barn, as they say, Vinny's here, he's Italian. What they say? Forget about it. Forget about it. You ain't getting nothing. You're not getting a harvest, right? So you're not going to get a harvest if you don't plant the seed. So you can complain and whine to God how come something's not working in your life. But if you don't plant seed, if you don't plant God's Word, if you don't meditate on it and spend time in it, you're not going to produce a harvest. You just won't. And this is something that we need to grasp and understand. So actually what we're talking about here, and we're going to jump, I'll have you jump over to, I'm going to look at this again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, and then we're going to go over to Matthew 13. Proverbs chapter 4. I saw something last night. You know, I took a little nap and I woke up around midnight and I was up till 3 or 4. So I was kind of wide awake. And I saw something in the scripture I hadn't seen before in Proverbs 4. You know, the more you look at scripture, the more you meditate on it, you see something every time you open it up. I do. I see something different every time I open it up. And I was sitting there at 2 or 3 going, wow. I had a wow moment. You know what I mean? Not a wild moment. It was a wild moment, but it was a wow moment. Anyways, so when we talk about seed and we talk about planting seed, God's Word is seed. But here's another thing to consider. God's Word is His thoughts. You know, when we want to know, well, what is God thinking? You know, people got all kinds of goofy thoughts about God. I think God, you know, is this way. Well, really? I don't read that. So if you want to know what God's like, He spent time through individuals. What does he say? He inspired men to write this. It's inspired word of God. So if you want to know what God's thinking, open the book. Jesus even said in his ministry, I do nothing except I see my Father do it or he speaks to me. So if you want to know what God's thinking is and his thoughts, then open the book and you'll find out. So my point in saying all of that is, what is a word? We discussed this before. This may be a little basic for some, but it's profound. When we say, what is a word contains someone's thoughts. And so thoughts, you can't see a thought. I can't see your thoughts, thank God. But I can't see your thoughts. But I tell you, if I hang around you long enough, you'll express your thoughts to me in what you say to me. As they say, you'll spill the beans. You'll tell me what you've been meditating on, what you've been thinking about, right? So words, when we speak words, most times it's what we've been thinking about, pondering, meditating on. So words encapsulate our thoughts. And thoughts, like I said, you can't see them. Thoughts are spiritual. Can't see it, can't touch it. Thoughts, you can't touch a thought. You can't feel a thought. You can't see it. But you can see the effects of a thought. You can see if someone's afraid. You can see the effect of that fear. You can see the effect of someone's joy and happiness. Right? They'll say, I feel great today. Right? So you can see the effects of thoughts. And that's why we always say, and I've said this, be careful or be selective what you read, what you listen to, what you watch. Because what you read, what you watch and listen to is what someone's expressing with their thoughts. And it's even motivated by something good or not good. And so when we read books, when we watch TV, when we listen to music, when we listen to lyrics and music, it's something that someone has thought about, and I'm going to pen this. I'm going to write down my thoughts. And some of it's garbage. And you keep planting that, and you're going to reproduce it. So that's why I say words are very important in this natural realm. But when we talk about wanting to know God's thoughts, they're expressed in his word. And this word is the seed of God, and it's the power of God. And there's a scripture in 1 John 3, verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin because his seed remaineth in him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't miss it. What it means is you don't practice it. Once you became born again, once you got saved, I don't know about you, but when I missed it, I felt uncomfortable. I'm like, I missed something here. I disconnected. I did something I shouldn't have done. That's because his nature, his seed is in my spirit. His word's in me, his very nature. Well, when you look up that word seed, when it says his seed remaineth in us, that word seed is the word sperma. Well, that's where you get the word sperm from. And so when you see that, God's DNA, you know, when we talk about somebody's like their offspring or like their mother or father, right? Well, how did that come from? It came from the DNA that was in the sperm that brought the characteristics over into that child, right? They may look like you, act like you, whatever, right? But the same thing where the word of God is concerned, God's very nature is impregnated into the word. When we say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, Well, if you go over to 1 John, it says God is love. So that means love, the very love of God, is in this. So when I get enough of God's word in me, I become like him. I can't hate people. I can't. Now, you may miss it. Somebody may just get on your royal last nerve, and you might say something, and you go, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, that's God's nature working in you to say, don't do that. Don't say that. And the same thing, the healing power of God, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, the word, the seed, is the power of God unto salvation. Well, when you look up that word salvation in the Greek, it means deliverance, it means salvation, it means healing. Wholeness. So God's life, his very nature, is impregnated and breathed into this word. So if I get enough of God's word in me, I'm going to walk in the love of God. If I get enough of God's word in me, I'm going to walk free of bondage. If I get enough of God's word in me, I'm going to walk in health and prosperity. See? So this seed will reproduce itself where? In this spirit, in this garden that God has created. He created me. He owns me now, right? Well, he always owned me. I just was rebellious. So, Proverbs chapter 4. This says here in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, I was focusing last night, I don't know, it just jumped off the page. You know how you see a word and it just is illuminated to me? I looked down and I said, this word keep just really illumined to me. When in verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them. Who's the inference here? Me, keep. Them. What's them? The word of God. Keep them, the seed, where? In the midst of my heart. If you say keep, you know, we don't use words the way they did back then, you know, and you know, when we talk about old English words, keep, you know, if I say keep something, I'm like, I'm holding on to this. Well, that is one way, but when I say keep, you can also use it, you know, it's an interesting thing with the English language. If I say, I keep a holiday, that means I observe it. I do it. So when he says here, that's really what this word means. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. It does mean, what it really means here, it means to attend to observe. Well, that's a whole lot different than just holding on to something. That means I'm attending to them, I'm obeying them. See, and when we talk about scripture, see, this isn't what I think it means. That's where people get into trouble. The way to interpret scripture properly is to interpret it looking at other scripture. So when I look at other scripture, if I look at two or three other scriptures, it should confirm this or support this in what it says, not just what I think it says. See? So here, this is saying to keep something means to protect it, attend to it, regard it. Right? Now, if you just look in the dictionary, you can go to Merriam or any dictionary, it means the same thing. It means to conform to inhabits or conduct. It's just the word keep in the dictionary. It means to conform, to act fittingly in relation to be faithful to stay in accord with, or to tend to something, right? So this is saying here, keep this word, tend to it, regard it, observe it, where? In my heart, because that's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes out of the heart, not your mind. And what does it also say? It says in verse 23, keep thy heart. So now it's not even just talking about the word of God. It's saying, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So listen to this. This was. I just enjoyed this last night. Listen to the Message translation of verse 22, Proverbs 4:22. See, that's why I say it's good to look at a few different translations. It says, see, when we talk about the word find, let me just read it again from the King James. Verse 22, it says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. This is the Message translation. Those who discover these words, that's the word find, discover. Those who discover these words live, really live, body and soul, they're bursting with health. What's bursting with health? The word is the seed of God. Hallelujah. So those who find or discover his word, that's what this is talking about, they do what? They keep after it. They keep after the seed. They keep watering it. They act upon it. This is the Passion Translation. Then as you unwrap my words, this is what the Passion Translation, another way of putting it. So instead of saying discover, it says unwrap. Those, then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So this is our responsibility. Paul, what did Paul write to the church at Corinth? He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So we have a part to play here. We can't just sit idly back. You know, think about this. You know, we talk about a farmer. A farmer doesn't, how many of you ever seen, you know, you've even up in this area, you see farms. You can go down to Blairstown, drive through there. You got a lot of farm fields through there near Blair Academy. You got a lot of farm fields, right? Anybody ever see any farmer? You'd say he's a dodo. What farmer would not prepare his field and till it before he planted seed? What farmer would go out and throw seed on ground that hadn't been tilled or opened up? You'd say, he don't know how to farm. Right? He's wasting his money. Right? So there's got to be a preparation of the ground. Yes, farmers go out and buy hundreds of thousands of dollars to harvest, but they also are smart enough to know if they want to harvest, they've got to prepare the soil. They've got to prepare the soil. For what? The seed. So they know the seed's got to be put in the right kind of ground. It's got to be prepared properly. Well, that's the same thing with us. God did what? Being what? Being born again. He's taken this nasty spirit that we had, separated from God with sin, and he did what? He prepared it. He made it brand new. He made it brand new. So now, what does it say? Being born again, not of what? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. So God took the time to say, look, I can't just... Well, that's... Also, what does it say in the scripture? Somebody help me out. It says you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. Same principle. See, that's what I'm saying. You interpret Scripture with other Scripture. Saying the same thing, but you can't take seed and stick it in ground that hasn't been prepared for the seed. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So you get my point. Let's go to Matthew 13. Some of this, if you spend enough time on it, you'll see the principle working here. Matthew 13 and verse 18. So I want to look at this particular principle here. This is the parable of the sower, talking about the parable of the sower sowing the seed. In verse 18, it says, "Hear ye therefore," this is the disciples. Jesus taught in parables most times. And the disciples said, well, could explain why, the first they asked him why he was teaching in parables, and he explained to them. But then he said, well, for you, I'm going to explain it. For you, it's been given to understand. So I'm going to let you know what this parable means. So he said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the word by the wayside." So we got one type of soil here, wayside ground. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, and yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." So now we've got wayside ground or hard ground, and when we've got what? Rocky ground. That's two kinds of ground. And then verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns, here's another type of ground, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now I'm going to read from Luke 8, verse 4. This will explain. I'm just going to read the same parable, but in the book of Luke, chapter 8, starting in verse 4. This is the actual, where he was actually sharing the parable. And he said, "When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down." It was trodden down. The New Living Translation says stepped on. So now we're going to talk here. We're going to go through this and read this from the parable before he reads it more openly and plainly to his disciples. So he's reading in a parable, and he said, "This seed that was sown by the wayside is it was trodden down." Now, again, we don't talk like that. And more than modern translations, this word trodden down means stepped on. If you look up this word in a concordance, the word trodden down means to disdain it. Means to reject it. To disdain means, some synonyms with disdain means to disrespect, look down on, snub it. That would be more like what we would talk, like this. I've been in places that, can we change the subject? Sure. That's disdaining something. That's not respecting what you're hearing. So what are you doing? You're rejecting something. You're treading it down. So what happens? So when it says that seed that was sown by the wayside is not received, and it says Satan cometh immediately and taketh the seed sown, Satan can't take seed that's sown in your heart if you respect it and you receive it. And the reason I'm saying this is because all of us here love God. But when you look at these parables, all of us could see something in our life in all three of these types of ground. Because you could say, I'll give you a perfect example. I've said this before. Because this is where church folk live. I ain't talking to them. Why not? Well, they weren't nice to me today. Or they didn't say hello. Or they didn't stroke me today. So I'm not going to talk to them. Well, that could be for you. That could be rocky soil. Right? Could be. Not saying it is. But I'm saying this doesn't necessarily have to mean people that don't know God. This can mean wayside soil. It could be something that's trodden down and you're just having a hard time seeing the purpose of me treating someone a certain way because they treated me a certain way. Or they talked about me behind my back. So what? So what? So, you know, always remember the seed of God's word will produce. It will produce. And if you get enough of God's word in you, let me see. Do you think God mashes like a bug everybody that curses his name or talks about him? No. He said he's slow to anger. So, if we're going to be like him, that means we're going to have to be slow to anger, slow to wrath, be slow to speak, and not let words come out and go, you know, and just say what you think, right? So that's all I'm saying is that when I read these parables, I do a self-reflection. I look at that and go, well, you know what? Yes, sir, that's an area I need a little more work on. Because I just haven't grown up enough in that particular area. You may be working the word over here in this area and got a lot of fruit going on. But then this area over here, there's a crop failure. You know, there's a crop failure over here, right? So that's all we're saying is that it's not to look down on it because we're all growing up in Christ. This is to help us. To be what? So when you look at these parables, you look at it and say, God is giving us insight. If you look at this and you look at these parables, further down in all of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like a seed. So it says it's like a mustard seed. So what does that mean? The word of God has to be planted. It has to be watered. It has to be observed and kept and acted upon. And God gives the increase. And the more we do that, and it's what does it say? Keep my heart. Keep my heart with what? All diligence. Guard my heart. So anyways, let me continue. And it says the fowls of the air devoured it. This is the wayside. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It needs to be watered. The seed needs to be watered. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I'm going to continue because now he unpacks this for his disciples. He said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Well, why did he come and take it away? Because it was trodden down. That's what he just got done saying. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. See, this is what we just got done sharing before. Observing something. Keeping it. Right? And bring forth fruit with patience. So we can see the three types of soil here. They got wayside soil that was trampled on, wasn't received. We've got rocky soil, said it sprang up, but it withered away because it lacked moisture. And then we've got ground that was thorny, says a good seed was planted with the thorns. They grew up together, and the thorns choked the word, and the thorns represented the cares of life and just the distractions of life, the pleasures of life and so forth. All those things can be distractions. So the question is, this is the question I want to conclude today, what makes good ground good ground? So if we're talking about good ground, what makes good ground good ground? See, because, you know, if it says, well, the good ground is that which, when the seed was planted, it brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I want that. So what makes good ground good ground? Well, it's right in the scripture. It says, let me just read it. It says, the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, this is what we just got done reading in verse 15. So it's telling you what the good ground is and what makes up good ground. It says, the good ground are they, that means us, are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So the two characteristics of a good heart is an honest and good heart. An honest and good heart. That makes up good ground. Well, what would that mean? An honest and good heart, if a good ground is an honest and good heart, that means that wayside soil rejected it, trampled on it. That can't be an honest and good heart. Right? And then those that what? Those that were on rocky soil, they received it. And then it was, I got joy, hallelujah. But then it says, then what happened? In a time of persecution, they what? They gave up. Right? So those characteristics you can see. And then thorny soil did what? Cares of life and the pleasures of life choked it, choked the word. So an honest and good heart can't be that. So listen to some modern translations. It gives a little better insight. See, because you could say, well, I have an honest and good heart. Okay. Let's see if you do. Because the modern translation shares a little more clearly what that means. That's why I said the King James Version sometimes is a little obscure. This is the Common English Bible. The seed that fell on good soil are those who hear the word and commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart. Through their resolve, they bear fruit. Oh, that's a little different. Listen to the Complete Jewish Bible. But what fell in rich soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the message, hold on to it with a good receptive heart, and by persevering, they bring forth fruit. So there's got to be some perseverance in the face of, what do we read on the rocky soil? Persecution came, and they what? They gave up. It said there was no watering, it withered up. And so the same thing with thorns. Cares of life choke the word. Pleasures of life choke the word. So obviously, they didn't persevere through it. Right? The New Century Version. And the seed that fell on the good soil is like those who hear God's teaching with good and honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce fruit. Now, these are my two favorites right here. This is God's Word translation. The seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word. Now listen to this. But they keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good despite what life may bring. Oh, that makes a little different. That's persevering. That's not throwing the towel in and saying, I've had enough, I'm out of here. Forget this. Or I was better off when I was a sinner. I've heard that. I said, really? Not me. Not me. I was a mess. I said, no comparison. No comparison. Now, this is my favorite translation right here. This is the Message translation. This just says it in plain, just everyday language. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. You hold on to the word and you stick with it. That's persevering until there's a harvest. Why do you stick with it? Because I know that God's word is incorruptible, that got planted in good soil, and this outward stuff that's going on is temporary. Yes. And the word has to produce. The word has to produce. It has to produce. So I'm going to persevere. I'm going to walk through this. Because the devil doesn't have the power to take it out of my heart. It's in my heart, and I'm going to water it and meditate on it. And what does it say? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Some translations say, be careful what you think. Let me read some of these other translations, because we're talking about persevering. But Proverbs 4, listen to some of these translations here. The New Century Version. It says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Your thoughts run your life. Well, that's true. So you need to be careful, and when you're walking through, when you've planted and you're like a farmer waiting for the harvest, you're going to be careful what you think because it'll run your life. You'll say, forget this, I'm giving up, I'm no. Well, you just gave up on the harvest. You didn't stick with it. You didn't stick with it. So you've got to stick with the word, stick with what was planted in your heart until you see a harvest. Till you see it. Because the devil knows, this is what I'm talking about. The devil fights us in this mental realm, in our thoughts. It says, it ain't working, it ain't working, it ain't working. You will never get that. And you go, ha ha, you already were kicked out of heaven. You've got no power. Jesus defeated you. You're toothless. You don't have the power to defeat me. Jesus lives in me. And he kicked your butt. Greater, what does 1 John 4 say? Greater is he that is where? In me than he that is in the world. So if we're talking about greater is he is the word. So that means greater is the word in me than he that's trying to get it out. You see what I'm talking about here? So we need not, what, just throw the towel in and give in just because we're walking through some stuff in life. He already knew that. He already knew that in our own ability we're weak, but he strengthens us. He strengthens us how? Through his word, and encourages us by his word. I mean, we don't go through the stuff that these early disciples and apostles went through. nothing near. I mean, some people are going through some things. I won't say it on tape. We have a couple that's over in I won't even say the area they're in because I don't want to, because it's for security purposes. I'll say it off tape, but on tape I won't. They go through stuff. Their life is at risk where they are. Every minute. You don't live like that. Thank God we don't. But the point I'm making here is put your faith in the seed, the word of God, whatever you're walking through. I don't care what it is, whether it's financial, health, mental, whatever it is. That word will produce a harvest if we stick with it and don't give up. You've got to absolutely be convinced. What does the scripture say? And I'll read this and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. I'll just read it because there's some other translations of it. Not 23, 35. It says, Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. That's sticking with something until you see a harvest. You're not casting away your confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence in his word. Confidence in the seed that was planted. I like this. This is the Message translation. You know, when we talk about sticking with it, this says, so don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. It's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. The Amplified says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great, glorious compensation of reward. Don't throw it away. Don't get frustrated with conditions and just throw the towel in. Because that's exactly, you know, think about this. The devil, if he could make you quit, if he had the power to do it, he would have done it a long time ago. What he does is get you frustrated and you make the choice. You give him the power to work. You make the choice to quit. He didn't make you quit. Because if he could, he would. So what he does is he gets you over into the mental realm where what? Always remember this, God gave you authority here in this earth just like Adam. So when he redeemed you, he gave you authority, he gave you power here in this earth and dominion. And the devil knows it. And he's been stripped of his power. Now, yeah, he operates in and through people that don't know that he's defeated. But he's been defeated because of Christ. Scripture says in Colossians, he made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it, the cross. He's been defeated. And his power has been stripped. And so all he does is he tries to get you frustrated with conditions and you throw in the towel and quit. Don't do it. Don't do it. The word of God will come to pass and work in your life if you let it and stick with it. Keep watering it. Keep listening to the word. Keep speaking the word. And God knows just how far our tolerance is also. You know, that's why I say a lot of times when we reach those breaking points, God will speak through someone, speak through a word. Someone will say, encourage your heart so you don't give up. Because he knows our frailties and weaknesses. He knows that already. Even though he lives in us, we live in this flesh that's not redeemed. spirits are, but our flesh isn't. So let's stick with the word. Stick with him and don't give up. Amen? Amen. Stick with the seed. Praise God. I'm telling you the truth. You know, if we just get a hold of this, this principle of seed time and harvest, just look, I'm going to read two scriptures, but when we talk about seed time and harvest, I'm going to just read this. Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked," or that means ridiculed. It says, "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We're not going to throw, if you throw in the towel, you won't reap. Let me read one more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Same thing about sowing. Verse 6 in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. For every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So if we catch a hold of this principle of seed time and harvest, not just in sowing the word, sowing your time into God's work, sowing your money and investing in God's work, those principles work if we work them. You know, you can't, I said this in past lessons, when you look at God's word and he said, "He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly." So you can't sow sparingly and expect to reap a bountiful harvest. And conversely, you can't sow bountifully and expect to reap a poquito, you know, a small harvest. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in the natural realm. You know, I looked up, well, I'll close and I'll share this off tape. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father.